is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go! Final hour of the show. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Monday in the big city. We appreciate you making us a part of your Monday. Love to have you be a part of the show. You can call or text 713-780-3776 on our HRNP listener line. You can hit us up on Twitter. Having some good dialogue, lots of interjections and input from you guys, texts and tweets. So however you wish to do it, we love you being a part of the show. Love having some fun early in the week on a Monday.
Do it.
I don't even think that was the time for that, but that's fine. Here's something quick.
I just like to randomly just, do it.
Bing! We were talking about everything going on with the coronavirus. And we know that there are – now, Louisville Slugger, by the way. Hildrick and Bradsbury and Louisville Slugger has halted operations of making baseball bats. They've furloughed employees, and their only hope is that they get back to playing baseball soon and very soon so that a company that has been around forever doesn't go under. And that's just sad.
Are they saying they're not coming back at all?
Well, they're saying if baseball comes back relatively soon that they can save it. But if not, it says we're not doing any advertising. We cut all our expenses. We're just hoping we get back to normal before we run out of cash. That was CEO John Hildrick IV, as he told the Louisville Courier. They furloughed 171 people. They've shut down their museum. They've been making bats since the late 1800s, and its relationship with Major League Baseball goes back to 1905, when Honus Wagner signed a deal to produce a bat with his name on it.
Well, I don't understand. Isn't this what the stimulus package was for? Like, this is
they ran out of they ran out of money for all this kind of thing. They ran out of money. And if I don't want to get political. Some of the money that they set aside to take care of all these businesses, massive amounts of money were set up with, shall we say, preferred companies that were already worth 40, 50 mil and making a lot of money. So it's a little dicey with the money and if you could still get it, how you could save it. But they said furloughed employees are still receiving benefits. Those that have not been furloughed are taking a 25% pay cut, and they're just seriously hoping to hang on. Mm. Also, 24-hour fitness. 24-hour fitness is a step further. They are in the process of getting the paperwork together to file bankruptcy.
Yeah, there's oil companies, too, that are already filing down here. So it's scary times.
It really is. You know? And by the way, this little note came to my attention. Derek Jeter, as CEO of the Miami Marlins, has said that he's going to donate his salary to all the other employees during this pandemic so that they will be okay. He's the CEO of a baseball team, Barry. CEO, and that's the reaction I had at first, okay? Now, without Googling it or anything else, take just a little shot in the dark what Derek Jeter was paying himself annually to be the CEO of the Marlins.
Is it just straight salary or is it like stocks and all
straight
that?
Salary.
As the CEO of the Marlins, I would guess, it would have to be $1.5 million, $2 million?
Higher.
Really?
Yeah, I was going to say, most professional sports franchises, if you're making a mil as the CEO, you're doing great.
Yeah, $4 million.
Derek Jeter, $5 million annually.
What?
I mean, life is good. You're part owner of the team anyway, and then you're paying yourself $5 million to run it. That's nuts to me.
Yeah, that's excessive. That's very excessive. You own the team and you're getting $5 million, so you're obviously getting the value plus. Wow. Good for him, I guess. And you know what? They had to approve that in order for him to make it. So whoever's working with him, boy, they have really turned over the keys to the kingdom. He better produce. With that kind of salary, plus all of the stuff that he's been, you know, like I said, given the keys to the kingdom, they better get it turned around and get on the road to another World Series real quick.
Yeah, I would say they. And then they reached out, and even during the pandemic, they were trying to find players that he could add to the roster that would make a difference. Yasiel Puig turned them down. They went after Yasiel Puig, and he's like, no, I'm going to be all right. I'm going to stay a free agent for now.
Well, Yasiel Puig would like to win more than 35% of his games.
I would think so, right?
I mean, who wouldn't? Wow.
And if you, ESPN did a one-on-one with Carlos Correa, who someone's, I think Manny Fresh said it the other day, but they said, has anybody turned around his image more to be a fan favorite than Carlos Correa? After every bag down him about the injuries and the constant quirky injuries, then the girlfriend and the wife becoming the wife, and the fact that she was too involved and always she's the one doing the videos, and now all of a sudden, because he basically, you know, went at Cody Bellinger and told him to shut the F up, and you know, now everybody just seems to love them some Carlos Correa. He's really turned around his image with everything that's going on. They said after the sign stealing investigation and all the front office changes, is it more frustrating for you not to be able as a team to prove yourself? And he said, it's not ideal. It's not what we wanted. We wanted to play baseball, show what kind of team we are, the kind of players we are. But what's happening is much more important than baseball. We're talking about something that's affecting the lives of so many people, many families who are suffering. It's our focus moving forward from baseball to finding ways to help. And he's been working hard. I'll give him credit for this. Bregman started this deal with the Houston Food Bank, and he donated $100,000 and his time as he and his fiance were volunteering. They wanted to get over a mil by the time they were done in a few weeks. They got over a mil in less than 5 days.
Wow.
They're busting their tail. They're doing a lot of positive things. So I give the Astros players credit between Verlander donating his salary, what Bregman and Correa are doing. You know, they both have been providing food to the people on the front lines at the different hospitals, too. I think they said roughly $500,000 that they also raised to bring masks to hospitals in Houston with a medical equipment company. So,
I mean, it kind of makes sense, though, doesn't it? Like, if you're in the midst of a PR nightmare, what better way than to start doing positive things for the community, right? Like, what better way to rebound from that, I guess. So, kind of does make sense. It's regardless of that, though, it is great to see them actually making a difference and doing what they're doing.
No, I agree. I just think that, as we've talked about, I don't think any team benefits more than what's up in the air about baseball right now, though, than the Astros. Because, you know, if the season had started on time, whether you like it or not, or obviously being in Houston, whether you think it's right or not, or, you know, you're protective of your team, they were going to get crapped on, and it was going to come from all different directions, and it was going to be every single night in, night out, especially on the road. Mm-hmm. I think that people are going to be so happy and giddy when baseball returns that I think, not that it's going to go completely away, but I think they're going to catch a far lesser degree of heat than they would if we just started the season on time.
I believe that. Yeah, I think that that's true. I didn't at first. I was like, but you know what? I think that the more, because time, you know, the old time heals all wounds thing. The more that they are able to put some distance behind it, they're still going to get booed. They're still going to get talked about, but by the hardcore fans. Because I mean, if you look online, you probably go to a tweet from Alex Bregman that says, hey, we just raised $1 million for the food bank. And somebody's like, great, is all the food in a trash can? Ha, 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 ha. Right? But those are going to start to dwindle. So you're still going to have those guys that are going to be like that. But for the most part, I think the time that they get away from all of this is going to help. So, you know, and it was going to be like that anyways, right? Like if they played
it was going to be awful at first, but as the season went on and seasons passed, it kind of goes away a little bit more. And this is, I think, helping. I do agree.
I also think nobody benefits more than, I think, primarily James Click, but also secondarily Dusty Baker, from the standpoint of those two guys being hired so late in the game before the season spring training started, that James Click can get his, you know, get his legs under him, get his feet wet a little bit in the organization, and not only understand what he needs to do and the personnel he needs internally, but getting a grasp on the roster to realize, I probably do still need to address starting pitching. I need to look at a couple areas of this team where I can make them better and put my stamp on this team. I wasn't in a position to do that if we had started on time because it was going 150 miles an hour. But now that he's had some time, he can get a grasp on everything and then kind of put the plan together for what they need to do as a team. And Dusty the same way. Dusty, obviously happy to take the job and, of course, happy to take the money. But to really get a more complete understanding of his roster and what he's dealing with, I'm sure can only help him.
Well, if we end up not having, I still want to know what's going to what's
and
the
I agree
with
that
Dusty.
Too.
If we end up not having baseball this year,
yep.
I wonder if he's going to back Dusty, next year. Yeah.
I don't think he manages the team if we don't have baseball this year. I think, like
year.
We talked about. Yeah, I mean,
if we don't get baseball until 2021, yeah, I think your new GM goes, all right, cool. Well, you were only here for a year just to get us through this. It's been a year. I'm going to go get my guy now.
Yeah, I'm on a 5-year deal, and I want a guy that's going to be here that I, you know, I put my stamp on this franchise with, that I feel comfortable with, that I know, and that's part of what a GM does. And hey, thanks. We paid you for it, and enjoy yourself. But this is the way we're going to go forward. All right, there's a little baseball for you on a Monday on the Usual Suspects. Got a couple segments to go on the show, so we're going to continue to roll on. Love to have you join us and be a suspect if you care to. 713-780-3776. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks!
You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go, rolling on with the final hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's me, Barry, and Aaron Rabel, taking you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. If you miss any portion of today's show, go to ESPN975.com. On the front page, you'll see the tab for The Usual Suspects at the top of the page. Click on that, and the menu will pop down. You can catch up on the 2 hours that you missed. And with that, then go back to the front page, download the app, and then you will never miss another ESPN 97.5 show, and that's the way it should be.
All right. You're not getting two out of me.
And I was going to say,
do it!
Shot your entire effort previously, so we're just not even going to push it.
See? See what happens when you got to... Got to have some fun with it.
Patriots unveiled their new uniforms, Barry, and need I say, add another team to the list of we don't even need to think that there's any reason to celebrate. They took their color rush uniforms, made them their primary uniform. Nothing big, nothing special, just like the Falcons, just like the Bucks, just like the Colts, just like the Browns. Wake me when you get something that's either a throwback or innovative, because so far... Yawn.
Yeah, I didn't think much of them. They were actually kind of ugly. I didn't like the stripes on the shoulders, number one.
Agreed. Yeah.
The pants blending into the socks, and then there was a stripe down the in the middle of the calf that circled it. It just looked weird. I didn't like it. I felt like they could have done a lot more if they were going to get away with or get away from their old unis, but... So, I don't know.
Yeah, and it's getting ugly in Jacksonville, by the way. Leonard Fournette.
I did get a text to the show, and it's kind of long.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say the other thing from the NFL note is it's really getting dicey in Jacksonville. Leonard Fournette was out there first. He was basically insinuating Tom Coughlin screwed everything up. Then he went that Then he said that the organization should go after Cam Newton. He's rubbing management the wrong way. So they are now wanting to move on from him. He's making a little over $4 million a year. So they're shopping him to whoever would be interested in listening at this point. And then their really stud young defensive player, and I'm going to try and say it right, but Yannick Ngakoue, dude has been really a really, really good player, and he's looking for a new contract. And he had tweeted hashtag free Yan because he wants to get out of there. He wants to be traded. He wants the money he believes he deserves. He called the team owner's son a clown, urged the team to get this crap done, then said that there was an exchange between himself and the owner's son, Tony Khan, and the team's senior vice president of football admin and technology, that basically said after the Jags played the Chargers on December the 8th, that Tony Khan told him it was his last game in a Jaguars uniform. He said, "Stop hiding, Mo." To which the son replied, "I'm not hiding, sir. I'm in isolation getting ready for the draft. I've been pretty active on social media in isolation. You wouldn't know that since you unfollowed me yet again." And he said, since your feeling might today, let's both be in the world. Let's let the world in on the truth. We've had a discussion that the Chargers game was my last game. Yet you try to backdoor the situation without answering any of my camp's calls. Shake my head, you spoiled brat. Holding up people for no reason. Clown emoji.
Ooh. Boy.
To which the son replied, "It's a new regime here, sir. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for all the contributions you made here. That said, tweeting insults at me won't get you traded any faster. Only good trade compensation will do that. Redirect your efforts in a more productive outlet." And he responded, "Just trade me. I don't need the speech."
Wow.
Yeah.
My goodness.
And then the son responded again, "Show me the compensation. I'm sure you're really driving up the price today, by the way." Man, if I'm the owner of the team, Mr. Khan, I'm going, "Hey, son, I know you're trying to help. Hey, shut the hell up."
Shut up, dude. Not helping, bro. Not helping. That's funny.
So it's getting spicy down in Jacksonville. I did talk to Keenan the other day. He's good. So, and his job is safe.
Oh,
so
good.
That's good. Yeah.
That is good. Glad to hear that.
So just throwing all that out there. All right. You were saying we had a long text.
Yes, we had a long text here. I just moved the window. My bad. Now, normally I don't read long texts, but I'm going to read this one. Okay. To the ESPN 97.5 text line. "Good afternoon. My name is Sergeant Carlos Espinosa Jr. I work with the Army Recruiting Station in Pearland, and I'm reaching out to you to see if you would like the opportunity to learn about possible career opportunities in the Army or Army Reserves. To stay local and help facilitate your future in education, please reply yes or no so I can update you in our digital system." Is there an analog system?
That's the number you have on file for us, and you're just trying to do some business?
"If you're seriously not interested, it's okay. Just give me a reason why so I can put that in our system, too. Also, if you have Instagram, follow me." Yo, Carlos out in Pearland, bro. What are you doing? You stop recruiting to the station, man. Yeah.
Seriously?
And 5,000 people are sending pictures. And I'm going to tell you right now, we're not doing the picture thing. I'm going to set up a rule that if you send a picture, it just goes to deleted items. Not going to do that, fellas. Not happening, gents and ladies. Stop sending pictures. It's a text line.
That's right. So, unless you're sending John Deere's. And then it's like sending
Tweet those at me. Tweet your John Deere porn pictures, and I will look at those.
I bet you will. With your pants down in the comfort of your own home.
Well, you know, do what you do.
I mean, it is the 3 o'clock hour, so exactly do what you do.
That's right.
So there you have that. I was just, yeah, I'm just looking at other things that we were going to kick around today. Again, we'll get into even more of the Last Dance after you watch it tonight. 49ers, by the way, said they're open to trading both of their first-round picks. You think Bill O'Brien really? Can screw that up too? They have 13 yes. and 31, I believe.
Okay. That's well, I mean, that's probably not a horrible thing because I doubt they trade both, but I think what they mean is if you want one of these, let us know.
Because well, we have they have two ones, yeah. and then I don't believe they have a two, a three, or a four. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to get multiple picks if possible. I would think that 13 and 31 can get you – you can just trade back a little bit on 31, but that middle of the first round pick, especially – like the thing that – I love it because I don't want the Niners to be any better. But they need a receiver, and at 13, you're going to get pretty much – you may or may not get Jerry Jeudy, but you're going to get – one of the two best receivers in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why you wouldn't just stay there and do that. But, I mean, if they're willing to give them up,
yeah,
more power to them.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like you said, if you're trading 13, you're pretty high up there. So you have the opportunity to get one of the 13 best players in college football. If you trade 31, depending on, you know, maybe that's something where people want to move up. And sneak into the first round, but it's going to be somebody that, like the Texans, or like that happened to the Texans when the Vikings moved up and got Teddy Bridgewater right ahead of them. It's going to be something like that. Where somebody says, look, we're not going to let this cat get into the second round. Let's go grab him now. We'll trade with the Niners and get that pick. And then you got to give up some picks. Because you're right. They don't have another pick till the fifth round.
Yep.
So they're kind of in the top third and the bottom third. So, you know, I could see them moving one of those and picking up a second or a third or, you know, a couple more picks in this draft or the next.
And there's got to be enough teams.
I really don't think they move both. That would be foolish.
I mean, I think 31 is more likely to go on draft night, just basically seeing how it all goes. If someone slides and there's a team that's in desperate need of a certain position and they know, hey, I'll give you my second and either a future pick or my second and third if you're willing to, you know, slot give me the 31st pick and, you know, my second is middle of the second round and we'll give you an extra pick. I could see them considering that. But I think 13 is probably a deal that's going to, if it's going to happen, is going to be a deal done before the draft starts so that they know, hey, our personnel department, be working on who you like in the third and fourth rounds and otherwise, because we're gonna end up acquiring a pick or two.
Mm-hmm.
So, by the way, I was expecting a lot of MJ content yesterday on ESPN because of the whole series starting last night, but instead of those that only have ESPN Plus being to capitalize on that Peyton Manning, those Peyton Manning shows that they did, they're freaking hilarious.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you've seen any of them. I recorded them. They had one where, I guess in the 30s in New York, they did a stunt where the quarterback and the wide receiver of the Giants, the quarterback was like 23 stories up, and the receiver was in the park down below, and they completed a pass. So Peyton Manning got Chris Carter, and he went up and threw the pass. Dude, Chris Carter was like dislocating fingers at how fast that ball was coming down from like 23 stories up. And it was hilarious. If you haven't seen it, they're out there. You need to check them out. It was very good stuff.
Cool. Hey, I did some quick statistical research, and you were talking about the fact that the Niners had two picks and then not another one. I have numbers on who has the fewest picks in the top 100, the most. And then how many draft day trades there have been in the first round. So we can do all that
cool.
that number goodness when we come back.
There you go. Stay tuned for that and a whole lot more as we get to the final half hour of The Usual Suspects on a Monday right here on ESPN 97.5. Make everything feel fine. Worry about
those calls. I'm with ESPN 97.5 is your home for sports talk. And now we're more talk with less commercials.
Are you serious?
Oh, it's true.
It's damn true.
Houston's only FM sports station, ESPN 97.5. This
is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back, final half hour. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Monday in the big city, having a good time. You guys are part of it as we kick around the last dance and the draft coming up and all kinds of things in between. So always a good time and always glad to have you a part of the show. We appreciate you. Barry, you had some things you wanted to get to before we went to the break. So if you want to get to that, I'm all for it.
Absolutely. So there was, you know, we were talking about the draft and the picks that the Niners had. They've got two picks in the first one, two picks in the first 31. And so the most picks in the top 100 of this year's draft, the Miami Dolphins have six. Mm-hmm. Denver Broncos and the Las Vegas Raiders have five. The fewest picks in the top 100, the Steelers have one pick in the top 100 this year.
You guys suck too!
You thought the Texans were bad. There are several teams with two picks in the top 100. Cardinals, Bills, Bears, Texans, Saints, Eagles, Niners, Redskins. Oh, I said Niners because, yeah, they got those two picks in the first round, but then out of the top 100, they don't have any until the fifth.
Their next pick is 156th in the entire draft.
Yeah.
So
most total picks, Dolphins with 14, Jags and Vikings with 12, Patriots with 12, Broncos, Packers, Giants with 10. And then if you're interested, if you're wondering how many moves there would be on day one, or I'm sorry, first round picks. Here is the draft day trades involving first round picks over the last 10 drafts. And I'll just do the last five. 2015, there was two. 2016, there was five. 2017, there was six. And 2018, there was seven. And last year, there was six.
Okay.
So there's going to be action, right?
Yeah, you would think. But I mean, the other thing is, I think most of these teams are going to work that out before the draft starts because I think that there's a lot of teams that are going to be skeptical and worried because of the fact that so much has to be done online.
Yeah, but I still don't think that's going to stop them because you worry about the technology, but if you let that prevent you from maybe moving up and grabbing the next Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson, then you're basically hindering your franchise.
I'll tell you where you know that there are teams that are leery of it. If the Lions at number three take Tua.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you still got Matt Stafford and you waste your top three pick on Tua and you don't know and have a deal already worked out for where he's going, that's when you know that they were a little leery about, but they knew that he was too good to pass up or that someone there were teams that would be interested. But that's an it. We'll see. There's a lot of interesting scenarios, and I think some teams are going to be a little worried about getting in touch with all of their personnel department and everything else when trying to make moves and make sure they make the right picks. Because like you and I said, they haven't talked personally with these guys. I mean, they did a special on Sports Sunday on Channel 2 last night with the kid from Houston that's going to be a first-round pick, the offensive lineman. And again, he echoed what we've heard from Chase Young and all these different top five picks that have said, instead of doing all these workouts, flying across the country, doing all these interviews, I've spent more time on FaceTime, Zoom, and on my iPad chatting it up with teams and doing workouts that teams can see. And it's just a whole new process and a whole new ballgame for all these kids.
It is, but they're more well-adjusted to that, right? Because they're still kids, and they kind of came up with it. If you think about it, this is kind of their era of doing stuff like this, and maybe it's ushering in a new kind of era where we do that. But I think the ones that it affects is the old guard, the old guys that don't like doing that stuff, and they realize that, man, that's how stuff is probably going to be done in the future, so you better get used to it now.
Yeah,
and I can see the draft doing that.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I know they love the stage and everything, but I could see this becoming more of a virtual thing.
No way. No, you know why? Just think about what the scene looked like in Nashville a year ago. And what they have, I want to say 100,000 people on the street They had every bar and restaurant booming. They had, you know, people raving about the coverage. I mean, to think about what we didn't get to see this year, you know they're going to go back and try and do Vegas again. The fact that you were going to have the players walk out in the middle of the fountains was it the Bellagio? I mean, that's just badass. And I do feel for these guys. Look, they did a special on ESPN or a segment feature on getting the call from the teams. And by the way, one of the dirtiest tricks to ever be played is the fact that Mohamed Sanu got a call from someone that said they were the Cincinnati Bengals and they were going to take him right here. And then the Bengals drafted somebody else and his whole family and everybody else that was already celebrating were like, what the f-? And it turns out someone had his number and prank called him.
Oh, that's dirty pool for
sure.
Only
to have the Bengals draft him in the second round.
Oh, yeah, that ain't right. That's dirty pool.
Yeah, but I mean, I do feel for the fact that like Joe Burrow or all these guys that, you know, look forward to the keepsake of going up on stage, getting that jersey with the number one on it, posing for the picture with the commissioner, you know, doing those kind of things, going through the green room and the red carpet and all that. A lot of guys, that's in the back of their mind as like a signature moment to cross off their list in their careers, and they're not going to have that.
Yeah. But I mean, look, I think that they would do like the first rounders, right? Like that would be a thing. But you think, and I mean, no one cares about the seventh round. That could be a day two could be virtual. Day one, sure. Day two, that could end up being virtual.
Now, I don't disagree with that. I could see that happening. I mean, I honestly think that, you know, again, as you're second round and beyond that, then everything changes. But I think that first round, there's a reason why they do just the first round on the first night. Because mm-hmm. that is the premier night of the draft. That is when you get the highest rated talent. So, yeah, I could see that happening.
Okay. Well.
But like we said, a lot of things are going to change when we come out of this thing. From local TV, even radio. I mean, we're going to do remotes now, and we can use an iPad. Whereas, you know, Aaron Raybould and Nick are dragging equipment across the city and doing things a different way. We found out there's a different way to doing it, and it doesn't sound too bad.
No, I mean, heck, you think about when I go on the road to do comedy, it used to be an issue. And now, I mean, as long as the hotel or the condo or whatever has a decent internet connection, it you know, the sound is good. So it's changing, you know, what's going on is changing life and changing the way we do things for a lot of folks. I think more companies see like, oh, so we can get business done with people working from home. That could be something that you start to see more.
Sure.
More people able to do their job from the house. Not saying radio, and I'm not saying I would want to, because when you and I are in the studio together, it's a lot smoother.
Yeah.
And I certainly do appreciate that more. But, you know, there were jobs. I remember, dude, when I was a project manager, I really never needed to go into the office. I could have done everything with that job remotely, but they just liked the sense of people being there. But that doesn't need to be the case. I think that a lot of these places – could, you know, a lot of these jobs could be done remotely. So we'll see.
Oh, for sure.
It is affecting everything.
That you're going to feel comfortable, and I'm going to find some way technically that we're not going to be able to do that. So we won't be able to do that for remotes. I will say that for all of us that kind of laughed and gave Lance the business when he was like, oh, no, I figured out a way where if you got an iPad, I can do the shows. And this was before all this went down. Now we're like, yeah, you can, and it's pretty cool, and it works pretty well. So I'm not opposed to it.
Yeah, kudos to him. I didn't even know that existed. Pretty cool.
Yeah, so good stuff. Okay, before we go to the break, let's get we've had Keith that's been holding a little bit. He wanted to do a little comparison in terms of, I believe, Jerry Krause to the Texans GM situation. Keith, what's up?
Hey, hi, guys. How's it going?
What's up, man?
So last night in episode one, I forget who said it, but it said Jerry Krause had a little man syndrome, and he had to have credit for everything. And in episode two, they said he was good at what he did, but he just couldn't get out of his way. And so I wanted to see which Houston GM do y'all think has that characterization. Is it Daryl Morey? Of course, it's Coach Bob. Even the new guy for the Astros, do they fit that mentality? Have a good one.
Appreciate it. I don't
I mean, if any of the three that had little man syndrome.
Yes.
I'm going to say probably. What was the other part of it? It was little. No, it was little man syndrome and what else? He said the.
Wanted credit for everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's definitely Bill O'Brien. Can't get everybody. Yeah.
I disagree.
That's your hate coming out. Bill O'Brien.
It is not, which is why I didn't say it. But there's no one that loves the attention, the microphones. I mean, literally, though, between Tad Brown and Daryl Morey, it's a battle royale to who can get the microphone in front of them faster. Daryl, look at how much he's on Twitter and on Broadway and this and that. Daryl loves to be called, you know, the genius GM and getting all the credit and doing all those things.
Okay. You know, I agree with you, and here's why. Because I think I would say that what Bill O'Brien loves the most is the power. He loves he'll go out there and be like, well, you know, it's just my, you know, it's not my job. But behind the scenes, he loves the power of being able to control everything. He's a control freak. Not a credit hound or not necessarily little man syndrome, but he's definitely a control freak. So you're probably right. I don't know enough about James Click at this point. I haven't seen him in action yet. But I would say that between the two, yeah, Daryl definitely more of a limelight guy, for sure.
I've never chuckled more with people in the office when we walked out of any room in the Toyota Center when we used to hear Daryl and Ted give each other a hard time and take jabs at each other because he calling the other one a microphone hoarder and all these other things. And we would all just laugh going, you both are! You love it! But, you know... That's another story for another day. By the way, Barry, one thing that I want you to pay close attention to because I want your feedback on this. When Jerry Reinsdorf bought the team, Jerry Krause was a White Sox scout. He called a meeting with Reinsdorf, said he wanted to be the GM of the Bulls, and Reinsdorf did it.
That's crazy.
Unreal. You think that would fly today? Louis Riddick was tweeting about it like, are you kidding me? All it takes is just calling a meeting and saying, I'd like to do that. And you're hired.
Wow.
And then to do the job that he did, regardless of like ego and credit, wow, that's crazy.
That is crazy.
In there. All right, we got one segment to go on the show. We'll wrap it up next. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Thinking of someone for whom he still burns. Because he's going the distance.
He's going for speed. She's all alone. ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and Nick Sharara.
Back to wrap it up on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Aaron, AJ, Fred, they'll take you home till 7, wherever you may be today in the big city. Barry, we were talking about the mock draft today the NFL did. John Elway is now saying his I-team department are a bunch of heroes for all that they've done leading up to it. And though there were those quirks and delays to start the draft, the conference call that he also alluded to in which people didn't know to mute, so there was a whole lot of unnecessary chatter going around. It did say that the Bengals, based on something that happened technically, were delayed in making the first pick 20 minutes. I think you could have made the pick for them, and we all know who they were going with. But they said once they got going, it evened out, the draft went smooth, and there were really no problems, so everybody got comfortable with it. He said they should be fine, it should go off without a glitch, but he figures there will be some hiccups, and the league has already said if there's a team on the clock and there's either it's clearly stated that there's a hiccup or it's noticeable, the draft will stop and pause until that team is able to make that pick. They will not lose that pick.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, see, that makes sense. I mean, good. Common sense prevails.
Yeah, he also said, though, that he feels like that there's not going to be as many trades made. He thinks that we as teams, they have to over-prepare so that they have an idea at each position of where they are now, where they want to be, what compensation might be. And he said that's where the internal communication with everybody in different locations is going to be a challenge.
Okay.
So, a little extra tidbit that just came out on ESPN as we went to break, so I thought I'd share that with the peeps.
All right. I'm proud of my fellow comedians out there. I am proud of my fellow comedy community. Did you see where the Comedy Store is doing a 3-hour live streaming fundraiser?
No, it's awesome.
In the Comedy Store, live from L.A., they're going to be doing it on their YouTube channel and their website. But the lineup is ridiculous. It's just going to be weird watching comedy streaming. I'm not going to lie. I even made the joke about friends don't let friends Zoom comedy, because there are people that want to do stand-up shows on Zoom. And I'm like, no, it's got to be a crowd there. But what do I know? Episode 1 of the Comedy Store thing, Whitney Cummings is the host, Chris D'Elia, Bobby Lee, Andrew Santino, and then Tim Dillon is hour one. Hour two is hosted by Tom Segura, so that's awesome. You got Joey Diaz, Burt Kreischer, and Theo Vaughn. Then episode three, there's I think Neil Brennan is hosting, Bill Burr, Donnell Rawlings, and they say a special guest. And let me tell you, if they're not telling you who it is, to me it can only be one of two people. And they said so in the article, but it's exactly what I thought. It's either going to be Rogan or Chappelle.
Really?
Yeah, I would think so. So that's
good stuff. Good stuff to look for.
Yeah. So all on the Comedy Store. All the details is on their Instagram. If you're a comedy fan and you want to watch it.
But yeah. So go ahead.
I was just gonna say it goes down. What's the day on it? April 21st.
So I had asked for the numbers, and they just came out. Sports TV ratings has the numbers for The Last Dance last night. I don't know if you want to guess what the average was. I actually think this is kind of low, but I guess for a cable sports show, it's not bad.
I'm going to say, if you think it's low, I'm going to say 800,000.
No, much higher than that.
Okay.
Yeah. I was going to say, well, when you get like, you know, Sunday Night Football being the number one show watched weekly and stuff, and I want to say it's, you know, 10 million plus. So The Last Dance premiered averaging 6.1 million viewers. The first episode,
yeah, I'm not even close.
The first episode did 6.3, the second one 5.8.
Okay. That surprises you? That's a lot of eyes on a documentary. That's a lot, Joel.
Yeah, it does say that's the number one sports program since we started the whole pandemic. And it says the premiere episodes rank as the two most viewed original content broadcasts on ESPN Network since 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Surpassing the 2012 30 for 30 You Don't Know Bo.
Yeah, I think that's a lot, not a little.
Most viewed telecast since the college football national championship game this last year.
Oh. People are starving, man. Starving for sports. Oh,
I figured it was going to do great. I thought it would dominate. I just thought it might even dominate more than that. Now that there's been so much hype and so much talk about it, and there's so much, you know, dialogue, I think that the next two probably will be higher than that.
Could be, yeah, because everybody's talking about it. And so everybody's like, ooh, yeah, because Rodman's coming up, I think, in episode three, right?
Yeah, episode three is Rodman, yep. Number one trending topic yesterday on Twitter. At one point, 25 of the 30 trending topics were all related to the show. It was also the top Google search trend in the United States on Sunday.
Mm. Wow, yeah.
9 million engagements between Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
6.5 million eyes, that's a lot. Well, I should say 6.5 million sets.
Yeah. Yep. So people are watching. All right. So that'll do it for a Monday for us. Tuesday, another day, and we look forward to having you as a suspect to the show. We'll have some more fun and a whole lot of things going on as we push through the week and hopefully get you through your regular day. The Blitz is coming up next. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. I told you this before. I'm going to tell you it again. If you're sitting around the house and you realize you need some minor work done on your roof, and you're just worried about with all the other expenses and things, maybe you were furloughed and you've got enough on your plate, Fitz Roofing Roofing understands, and they've got men that are willing to get out there and work, and they need work to do. So if it's minor repairs, they're going to take care of it for free. It's a great situation from a company that has your back in Houston. FitzRoofing.com, but better yet, call them, 832-521-3001. You can set up a free no-obligation inspection today. They come to your house, tell you what they can do. And then, if it's minor, they'll probably do it for free without a penny out of your pocket. It's because they want to give back to the city that means so much to them that they're dedicated to, and that's Houston, Texas. They got the best ratings in the business, and they're here to bring it to you. A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on Facebook and Home Advisor. Again, give them a call. 832-521-3001. Get that free no-obligation inspection today. It's Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time. Stay tuned. Blitz is next. You guys have a great night, everybody, right here on ESPN 97.5.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not. Yeah, boy.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now. Do it.